Blog Talk Radio.
I see the clouds.
Amen. Welcome, everybody. What's good? What's good? This is your boy, Carl Reed, here, and we're doing another episode of Waywalkers Bible Study on steroids. Yeah, man, we're going in. We're pretty much halfway through the book of Genesis. We're discussing Genesis chapters 28 and 29. And also online, I have my co-host, Felix Lopez, here. And I'm just going to let him introduce himself and tell him more about tonight's Bible study.
Hello, everyone. How you doing? This is Felix. Yes, welcome to another Bible study. And tonight, basically, we're going to talk about the great deception among brothers. Basically, we're going to talk about Jacob and how he deceivably took his brother Esau's blessing, the blessing that was rightfully Esau's, that rightfully belonged to him, that should have been his. Jacob took it deceivably, deceptively, actually. And but we're going to find out what more in the story as we cover it. We're going to find out as we read the story that the blessing, as many would think, really belonged to Esau, actually really belonged to Jacob. And we're going to find out that these two boys, even though they were both predestined to be the fathers of great nations, nevertheless, Jacob was predestined to be the father of a greater nation than his brother Esau. And he was actually the one who would really inherit the inheritance and get the blessing and be the greater man, just as God had foreseen it ahead of time when he had told Rebekah, while she had been pregnant with both of them, that indeed it would be Jacob who would be the greater nation. And, of course, Israel would come from him. Later on, as we read on in Genesis, we'll see how Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and we'll see how God made a nation out of Jacob. And the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, came forth from him. And God made him into a greater nation than the nation that came from Esau, which, of course, would be the Edomites. Eventually, later on, as we read in history, the Edomites and the Israelites, even though they were both brothers, but nevertheless they lived in hostility against each other and they hated each other after the story about their ancestors, after what went on with their ancestors and what took place, how Jacob deceivably took Esau's blessing. And as a result, there was hatred. Esau wanted to kill him eventually. So a lot of things happened, and that shouldn't have happened. And eventually Jacob was forced to leave the land of Canaan and go to the land of his uncle and actually his family back in Mesopotamia, in the land of Haran, where Abraham's family lived, or actually had to move. They relocated there eventually. So but we're going to go further into the story. We're going to read how Jacob got Isaac's blessing. Of course, the blessing that Isaac was going to give to Esau, but, in the end, Jacob got it. And later we're going to read how he fled to, his uncle Laban back in Padan Haram in Mesopotamia. And we're also going to cover a wonderful dream that Jacob had, actually, in the dream of at Bethel. And basically, we're going to cover just these two chapters, and I'm going to break them up to you quickly. Before we do that, I also wanted to cover in the last chapter how, on 26, how Isaac became very prosperous in the eyes of the Lord and how God had blessed him after Abraham, his father, had died. However, Isaac pulled the Genesis 12 on Abimelech. He lied about Rebekah being his wife, just as his father Abraham had lied about Sarah being his wife and said she was his sister, which, of course, she was, half-sister. But nevertheless, in Isaac's case, he lied about his wife as well. He did the same thing. So we see here how lying isn't good, but we see how he learned this little tricky trade from his dad, which wasn't good. Of course, Abraham repented and didn't do it again. He did it twice, but then he didn't do it again. But now Isaac, his son, pulled one of his moves, and, of course, look what the trouble it got him into. It wasn't good. Okay, now in the end, you know, Isaac himself learned, okay, well, you know what, lying doesn't get me anywhere. I guess my dad, learned the hard way, so now I learned the hard way too, and I shouldn't have done that, you know. So, but we got to be careful when it comes to, you know, really trying to cover ourselves or saving others. You know, we can't lie, you know, because in the end it just hurts everyone else and hurts us more than everybody else. So, but that was something he learned eventually. And Abimelech let him live in the land eventually. And, you know, he became prosperous and richer, even greater than the king himself. So great that the Philistines envied him and wanted him out of there. So, again, God had blessed Abraham's family. I mean, he had blessed him abundantly and blessed him so great, basically, because they were related to Abraham. And Isaac, his son, who was his heir, was blessed. And he was prosperous and happy. And, you know, who could ask for anything more? All right. So later they had Jacob and Esau. They had twin sons, Rebekah and Isaac. And when they grew up, However, we see that, you know, both boys were very different, even though they were twins, though not identical, but they were, you know, pretty much they were brothers and, you know, they did sort of had different interests, you know. However, when Esau was a man, he became a great hunter and he loved hunting and bringing wild game for his father Isaac to eat, which is basically why Isaac loved him. And, you know, we also covered how Jacob was sort of a mama's boy, and he loved being with his mom and helping her out in the house and also helping tending the flocks and staying back in the tents and living as a quiet man and, you know, just really taking it easy, being peaceful. And in the end, we see that these two men, these two young men, had different interests, different lifestyles, different hearts. All right. But later on, Esau did something that hurt his father and mother very much. It hurt them both deeply from the heart. He married Canaanite women. He married women from the land, women who were pagans and who did not worship God, but worshiped idols and false gods. And, you know, God did not want his people to have anything to do with such people. And as you can see, Abraham didn't want Isaac to marry such women from the land, which was why he had his servant go back to his home country in Mesopotamia and bring him a wife for him from there back to the land of Canaan, okay, from his own family. And so everybody in his family was God-fearing, and Abraham simply wanted a God-fearing woman for his son. So Isaac wanted the same for both his sons. However, unfortunately and very sadly, Esau married women that were not godly, and this hurt Isaac and Rebekah very much, you know. So, but now we're going to cover chapter 27, and this is a very wonderful chapter because basically there's a lot of controversies about Jacob and Esau, and, you know, there's a very prominent story, very well known, two brothers, and, you know, basically one of them lied to the other, one of them deceivably took from the other what rightfully belonged to him, and in fact, there wasn't even the fact that he wanted to do it, but his own mother put him up to it. So, but we're going to read a little as we go along, and anyway, we're going to get the show started, and we're going to read a little. So, here it goes. Carl, you want to add anything before I start?
No, man. I'm just gonna pray. I'm just gonna pray a little bit.
We can pray a little before we do that. Exactly. We can pray.
Yeah, amen. Just gonna pray. Just gonna pray a little bit. You know, just that's how we start and end our shows. So I'm just gonna pray. I'm just gonna pray a little bit so that just before we get started. Heavenly Father, dear God, we thank you for just bringing us together one more time, O Lord. We thank you for bringing us throughout the day. Oh, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will just take control once again of this Bible study this evening. Oh, Lord, I pray, oh, Lord, for those that are listening and those that will listen later on. Oh, God, I pray that someone's heart will be blessed. I pray, oh, God, Jesus, that, oh, Lord, even for myself and even for Brother Felix, oh, God, Jesus, as we bring forth tonight's lesson, that we too, God, Jesus, will learn something and receive something as well. Also, Lord God Jesus, I pray that you'll touch and heal Bella as well, oh God Jesus, restore her voice back to her, Lord God Jesus, so that you can have a swift recovery, oh Lord Jesus, and return to join us for these broadcasts. In your name, Father, we pray these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen, bro. All right, so we're going to read Genesis chapter 27. So everybody, please bear with me. Stay tuned as we read this chapter. And for your hearing and, you know, listening, okay? And here goes.
So
I'm sorry, Carl, you want to say something?
No, I was actually going to if you
want to read,
mind,
you want to go ahead and read, and then I'll discuss the chapter. You can read if you want, and then I'll discuss the chapter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I'll do that. All right.
So, take it away, brother.
So here you go. So here you go. Genesis chapter 7, chapter 27.
No, 27.
Yeah. Genesis chapter 27, verse 1, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his oldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from the bench two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said unto Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will flee me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of the eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread, and which she prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou thou badest me, arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou foundest so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let my mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise, and eat of his son's venison, that my soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword shall thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of his blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." And these words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" Amen.
Oh, amen. Yeah. So that was amazing, that story. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah, it was definitely an amazing story, because we see here what happened, what really transpired. We see that even though Isaac, even though he was already old, he was already blind, he couldn't see too well, yet he still wanted to give Esau, his favorite son, the blessing that really, really belonged to Jacob, because Jacob was actually the one whom God had chosen, even before they were both born. And so just as God had blessed Abraham and told him that may those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed, and he also told Isaac, he reiterated the same blessing to Isaac, all right? Well, so now Isaac, you know, reiterated again, you know, he repeated the same blessing to Esau, well, the person he thought was Esau, who really was Jacob, the rightful man to whom this blessing rightfully belonged, because it was him that God wanted to choose to bring forth the nation of Israel. It was him that from whom the nation of Israel would come forth. He would be the father of the nation of Israel, and you know, and fulfill his promise that he made to Abraham, his grandfather, and to Isaac, his father. So, and Jacob, you know, would definitely be the one that God would raise up and make into a greater nation than Esau. And rightfully so, it was him. He was the one who God really wanted to have this blessing and inherit the inheritance of Abraham and Isaac. And not only that, but Isaac also told him he would have earth's riches and the dew of heaven above. And basically, he made him lord over all his mother's household, and basically he basically made him the greater man. You know, he would have everything. You know, I mean, and it's just amazing how this story began. You know, because as Isaac neared the end of his life, he wanted to make sure that Esau would take over as leader of the family. Isaac told his oldest son to go on and prepare a special meal for the two of them, and he would give Esau his blessing. Esau went out to hunt food for the meal. Rebekah overheard Isaac talking to Esau. She wanted their youngest son, Jacob, to get this blessing, so she cooked her husband's favorite food. She told Jacob, basically, to dress in Esau's clothes and tied woolly skins on his hands. So this way Isaac would think that it was Esau and not Jacob. Isaac could not see well, and if he had reached out to touch Jacob, he would think it was Esau, who was a hairy man. Jacob brought the food into his father's, into his father, basically, long before Esau returned from his hunt. Isaac felt the wool on Jacob's arms. He smelled the clothes that Jacob wore, satisfied that Esau stood before him, or so he thought. Isaac gave his blessing, turning his power over to his son. to his youngest son, actually, and he wasn't even aware of it. Just after Jacob left the tent, Esau came with his food for Isaac. Both father and son shook with anger when they realized how Jacob had tricked them. And there was nothing left for Esau. So basically, this is just the whole point of the story, that Jacob, the name Jacob itself, means a deceiver, trickster. And, you know, he lied to his brother the first time when he conned him or told him into giving him his birthright for some lentil stew. And Esau gave it to him, you see. But Esau was also not very smart, because how can you give your inheritance rights as the oldest son and as the one who will receive all the inheritance over to your younger brother? You see, he gave over his inheritance rights, his birthright. All right, in ancient times, this was called a birthright, and this was the rights only given to the oldest son, indicating that he would have his father's inheritance or be the leader, the next leader of the family after his father died. But Esau gave this over to Jacob to begin with. So it was certain that Esau wouldn't get this blessing because of what he had done in the first place, you know. And yet he still expected to be blessed even after Isaac had blessed Jacob, whom he thought was Esau. But you see, this was a one-time deal only. This was a one-time blessing for one person only. And this blessing cannot be given to anyone else, nor could it be reiterated or repeated. You know, as in the case of Abraham, and then his son Isaac, and then his grandson, of course, Jacob, whom Isaac thought was Esau. But actually, it was Jacob, okay? This blessing was a one-time deal only. This blessing would only go to Jacob. And out of the three, he would be the patriarch, the founding father of Israel. Him, his father Isaac, and his grandfather Abraham, okay? Israel would come from these three men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? Later known as Israel. And that was the order of the blessing that God had arranged, that God had promised to Abraham firsthand long ago, and later reiterated that same blessing to Isaac. And now this blessing, whom Isaac thought was he was giving to Esau, was actually passed along to the rightful man, Jacob. All right? And even though he took it deceitfully, but then again, Esau gave up his inheritance rights as the oldest son and the keeper and heir of his father's inheritance in the first place. So it was as if he despised his birthright and didn't want the blessing to begin with, you know, when he did this. And I want to turn over real quick to the New Testament. We're going to turn over to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 12, basically. Hebrews 12, verse 16. And we're going to recap a little bit, go over this event again in a New Testament perspective. Basically, the writer here is telling us, In Hebrews 12, 16 to 17, the story here is repeated, okay? It says in verse 16, "See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected." You see? But because he was dumb, because what he did was so dumb, and yet he expected to be blessed and accepted. And when he found out there was nothing else for him left and he was rejected, I mean, it says here, he could only bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. Okay? But it was already too late, because it was a one-time blessing, one-time deal only. And it only went to the rightful man. And Jacob was apparently the right man, because whoever the blessing fell upon was the man who would receive the blessing. And it wasn't even the fact that Esau was the one who really should have received the blessing, because he was the main heir and the one who would inherit his father's estate and everything his father owned. No. The point was, whoever received the blessing was the man who was blessed. And basically, Jacob was blessed because he received a blessing. And Isaac said that I blessed him. Who was the man that I blessed? I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. You see? And that's it. Whoever the blessing fell upon was the one who received the blessing and had that blessing. And it could not be revoked or changed or taken away or given back to Esau. No, forget it. That's it. It was Jacob's, and it was there with Jacob to stay until the day he died. Jacob would die with that blessing. That blessing would die with him. That's it. It was a one-time deal. And Esau could do nothing but seek the blessing with tears. And he also asked his father if there was any more blessing for him. Nope, that was it. Sorry, my son, but I gave the blessing to your brother, whom I thought was you, and he deceivably took it from you, you know? And of course, this not only made Esau sad and, you know, heartbroken and teary-eyed, but it also made him angry, and to the point where he held a very great grudge against his twin brother, to the point where he was moved to kill him and had intentions of killing him eventually because of his fury and his anger against his brother. And so, you know, we read on eventually that he held a grudge against his brother, you know, because he had deceived him and cheated him two times, twice, you know. And but there's also a scripture that I want to share in Romans chapter 9, basically. And I'm going to start at verse 10. And it says, basically, you know what? I'm going to start at verse 6 and work my way down to verse 13. All right? It says the following, Romans 9, verse 6. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. All right, and God had told this to Isaac as well before the twins had been born, that it was through Isaac, actually. Actually, he told this to Abraham before the twins were born, that his son Isaac, all right, basically his seed would be wrecked, would be divided, you know. So one of them would be the main heir, the one of the promise, would inherit the promise along with him, with Isaac, and with Abraham. And that was Jacob, okay? Those three would be the founding fathers of Israel, the three patriarchs, okay? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They would be the ones. And so basically, it goes on saying, okay, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Okay? Apparently, Isaac became the father of two nations. All right? The Israelites and the Edomites. But apparently, it was the Israelites, okay, the nation of Israel, that would be blessed and would share in the blessings with Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. All right, so they would share in the blessings of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not Esau, okay, not the Edomites, even though they were brothers to the Israelites, but they were not included in the inheritance or partakers in the promise that God had promised only to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants after them. Okay, so and it goes on in verse 8. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated. And it says here, at the appointed time, I will return and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebekah's children had one and the same father, our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. All right? And the angel said this to Rebecca, you know, ahead of time, that two nations are in your womb, you know, and one of them will be greater than the other, and the two that are within you will be separate. One will be greater than the other, and the older will serve the younger. This was foretold to her before they were born. okay, before this happened, okay? And there's also a scripture in Malachi, actually, in Romans 13, it says, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated, all right? And this scripture is also in Malachi chapter 1, verse 3. So it was very clear that God himself, had the hand of God was in on all this, and God had chosen who the better man would be. And God was very pleased with Jacob more than he was with Esau. Esau, as we can see from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 to 17, he was godless. Even though he was a smart man, a very skilled hunter, and very talented in hunting wild game or venison, and he was quite a sportsman and quite the unique gifted hunter. Nevertheless, he didn't seek God. He didn't have the heart to look after God, to seek God, to search God, to go after God's heart. You know, he wasn't a man who sought God. On the other hand, his twin brother Jacob, even though he was a deceiver and a liar and a trickster, okay, which wasn't good either. Again, we see those lies, those bad habits passing on from father to son to grandson. Okay, we see Abraham did it, and it wasn't good, so he had to repent of that, okay? We see Isaac did it, and it wasn't good, okay? So Isaac had to repent of that. But now we see his son, Jacob, Abraham's grandson here, doing the same thing. He's lying, and also his name partially means deceiver, okay, and a trickster. And we see how he lied twice to his brother and once to his father. So we see here that lying is not good. We can see now how lying was passed along from father, son, to grandson, and it's not a good thing. Lying will get you nowhere, okay? And in the end, Jacob, too, had to realize this was wrong, which, of course, later on he did, and he had to repent. So it almost got him killed, too, because, his brother was very upset with him. So, but the whole point was that Rebecca eventually had to forcibly send him to Aram Padam in Mesopotamia, to Abraham's family's, homeland, basically. So, this was basically what he had to do. He was forced to stay there for some time until the fury of his brother, Esau, was subsided, until it went away, until he got over the fact that he wanted to kill Jacob and no longer, desired to kill him. So, and he stayed there. He stayed there for quite some time. Yes, Carl, you want to say something?
Yeah, just real quick. Well, this is very interesting story we see here, because as we covered, Jacob not only tricked his brother once but twice.
Yep.
Jacob conned his brother out of his birthright for some stew because he's hungry. Now we come back here and we see that Jacob cons his brother again out of a crucial blessing that Esau had, and not only that, but the mom Rebecca was in on it too as well.
Yep.
So if you could only imagine what it would be like if we were to have that happen in our days. Although I'm pretty sure it does happen, but I mean, just think about it. I mean, like your brother gets conned not once but twice by a sibling, and your parents are in on it, and of course you get vengeful, you get prideful, and of course you want to seek vengeance, and that's just very interesting. I mean, even back then, you had people tricking other people, you had people conning people,
Yep.
you had all that going on. on before this time here. So really, it's nothing. When you really look at it, it's nothing really new. I guess you can say it's just history repeating itself.
Yep.
Really. So that's just one little thing I want to bring forward tonight. So you can carry on, Felix.
Amen. Amen. And it's a very interesting point, you know. And because, like I said, you know, even though, you know, we see here what lying is and, you know, what it does and that it's not good. And we see that, yes, Jacob had, you know, of course he had sinned and done things he shouldn't have done. But in the end, we see also that God was pleased with Jacob. You know, we see that God saw something in Jacob that he didn't see in Esau. We see that God actually saw Jacob's heart and was pleased with his heart more than with Esau's heart. And even though Jacob was a very quiet man and, you know, helped his mom tend the flocks, he was a mama's boy, he was a liar, a trickster and all that, but Jacob, unlike Esau, sought God. Jacob, unlike Esau, had a heart for God, to walk in the footsteps of God, to seek the God of his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. And basically, he loved learning about God from his grandfather when his grandfather taught him about God. You can only imagine the joy he had just hearing his grandfather talk to him about God, or Isaac, his father, talking to him about God. I mean, you could only imagine. You know, I mean, the whole point was that he was a very humble man. He had a humble and mild, heart, willing to learn and to follow and obey, you know. I mean, even though he was a liar, yes, but later on he learned the hard way and he realized, you know, it leads to no good, and eventually he had to repent. But in the end, God didn't see his sins because he overlooked them, because he forgave him after he repented. God saw his heart. God saw that he sought God. And that's why it says in Malachi 1, chapter 1, verse 3, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated, you know, and because he was basically the greater man and the one who would inherit the promise and partake of that same promise along with his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham, you know. So, but basically now what we're going to do is we're going to keep reading on in chapter 28 in verse 1, and we're going to finish off at, we're going to finish off this chapter. So if you don't mind, Brother Carl, you can continue reading chapter 28, and we'll finish off on this chapter, if you will, please.
All right, let me just get back there real quick. Okay. Okay, so Genesis chapter 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, Then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shall give me, I will surely give thee tenth unto thee. Amen.
Yes. Amen. So basically we see two things that happened here. We see, well, basically Jacob was forced to leave to, you know, the land of Mesopotamia, his family's home country, originally his grandfather Abraham's home country, and how the family relocated from Ur to Padam Aram and lived there, okay? And so basically the rest of the family lived there, and he went over there to live with his uncle. And actually he worked for his uncle for 7 years to acquire a wife. From one of his daughters, one of his uncle's daughters, who apparently were also cousins. They were his cousins, you know. And so, but eventually, yes, he ended up marrying two of his cousins. And one of them was Rachel, whom he really loved and actually was in love with, and the one that he loved the most. But basically, he had to work for them, you know. And so, but he stayed there a very long time in the land, and he prospered. And, you know, God blessed him. And, you know, after Isaac, his father had charged him, you know, and told him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. You see, he didn't want Jacob, his son, to make the very same mistake that his older son Esau made and married a daughters from the women of the land who were pagans, okay, and did not fear God and had nothing to do with God at all and did not obey God's laws and did not love God. Okay, and he did not want his son Jacob, his youngest son Jacob, to be involved with such people. So he told him, just like Abraham wanted a wife for Isaac from his home country, from his own family, all right, from one of his people, all right, who were God-fearing, okay? Well, the same thing. Isaac also wanted a God-fearing woman for his son, Jacob, and he told him to go to his father's country, okay, his grandfather's, Abraham's country, and there, from among their family, their relatives, he could acquire a wife, you know, and marry them, you know. And so, you know, the family over there was pretty prosperous. Again, God blessed Abraham's family. I mean, not only his children, but everyone else in the family who were related to him, brothers, sisters, uncles, cousins, niece, nephews, you name it, you know, everybody. So, and Laban, you know, was related to Abraham and Rebecca and everybody. They were all family. So, basically, he went over there, and you know, he was around. You know, he was among godly people while he was there. So, and he met Rachel eventually. You know, basically, he had traveled. You know, to the land of Aram, where his uncle Laban lived. All right, when he greeted his relatives and he saw a beautiful girl watering her flocks, it was Rachel, okay? Jacob promised to work 7 years for Laban if he could marry Rachel, okay? Laban tricked Jacob. We see another deceit, another trickery and act of deception going on here. You see? just as Jacob tricked his twin brother, now we see his uncle tricking him. You see? So Jacob didn't like what his uncle did to him. And you see, Jacob realized what he had done to his brother was not good. You see, so now he realized, wow, you know, my own uncle tricked me. You know, I didn't like that. But then again, I tricked my own brother, and I know he didn't like that. In fact, he even wanted to kill me. So Jacob realized, you know, that what he had done was not good. And now it's being done to him. You see, what goes around comes around. So yep. Eventually he learned. And, you know, so Laban tricked Jacob on the wedding night and gave him Leah, okay, Rachel's older sister. Instead of Rachel, he gave him Leah. And Jacob was more interested in Rachel, you know, and he was really in love with and wanted to be with. And his uncle Laban gave him Leah instead of his daughter Leah, you know, his older daughter Leah instead of Rachel. You know, and that wasn't good. Now, Jacob knew what it felt like to be tricked. You see? the tables have turned, right, Jacob? Well, now Jacob knew what it felt like to be tricked, okay? But he still wanted Rachel for his wife, so he worked another 7 years for Laban, all right? He worked another 7 years, eventually, you know, to get her, all right? He was willing to do whatever it took to get her. Even if he had Leah as his wife, well, he'll have another wife. He'll have Rachel too then, you know, but he still wanted Rachel, and he was willing to do anything to get her. So he worked another 7 years, okay, just to get Rachel. So he worked 14 years in total, all right, so that he eventually got both women, both wives, okay, both the daughters of Laban, eventually, all right? And but Esau also saw how Isaac had felt, how Isaac had blessed Jacob and had sent him to Padan Aram to take a wife from there, from his family. And that when he blessed him, he commanded him. He also knew that Isaac had told his brother, his twin brother Jacob, do not marry a Canaanite woman. And that Jacob had obeyed his father, you see? Esau saw this, and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother. And so basically, you know, what had happened was he went to Padan Aram, you know, just as his mother and father wanted him to do. And Esau realized how displeasing the Canaanite women were to his father, Isaac. Okay, so what did Esau do? Okay, now, in order to make things up, to patch things up, okay, this is what he did. He went to Ishmael, okay? To Ishmael, okay? Now, Ishmael was the oldest son of Abraham, okay? his great-uncle, great-granduncle, okay? And, you know, he was Isaac, his father Isaac's older brother. Okay, so he went to Ishmael and married Mahalath, okay? The sister of Nebaioth and the daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, okay? in addition to the wives he already had. I mean, Esau had multiple women. He had a harem, all right? I mean, back then, a man could acquire more than one woman for a wife, but also, if he had too many women, it was also a risky thing. You know, it was also dangerous, especially if the women were not God-fearing. Yeah, it was even more dangerous because, you know, spiritually, it could lead a man who was godly to a spiritual disaster, okay? And this happened to King Solomon later on, as we will read, you know, later on in 1 Kings, okay? He was the richest man in history, the wisest man in history, and also the man who had the most wives, all right? 700 wives, I mean, for crying out loud, you know? So, you know, we have to be careful on that because, you know, again, even in ancient times, you know, men were very, you know, passionate with women and sensual and had a way to be with women. And, you know, sex back then was an issue, and as it still is today. But also we have to be very careful of our lust, you know, for women and where it can lead to. You know, it's very dangerous, all right? And so back then it was the same thing, you know. History repeats itself, just like our brother Carl was saying earlier, okay? So we have to be careful on that. So Esau was indeed a very godless man. I mean, he was sexually immoral. He had women like crazy everywhere, you know what I mean? He had multiple wives that he had married from among the Canaanites, whom Isaac and Rebekah had forbidden him to do, but yet he still did it. And now he had wives from among Ishmael's family, okay, who were Abraham's family as well. And, you know, to make up, to patch things up, you know what I mean? To look good in front of for his father Isaac and Rebekah. Look, Mom, look, Dad, I married some of Ishmael's relatives, your relatives, see? So, okay, give me my props. Well, no, Isaac was still not happy. And, you know, it didn't please him, you know. So, nice try, Esau. But anyway, this is what he did, okay. So, basically, I'm sorry, Carl, you have something to say?
No, since you asked me, again, there you have it here. Because Jacob, as we just heard, you know, the tables were turned on Jacob. He was promised one wife, but he was
Rachel.
He was promised Rachel, but in the end he got someone else.
Leah.
He got Leah instead. So as we just said, the tables are turned and the joke's on him. But now of course he could have just Jacob could have just easily walked away with Leah. You know, he could have just said, yeah, I did my seven years, you know, and I did not get the wife that I wanted, but at least I got a wife. He could have just took the easy way out, and you know he could just walked away and said, I already did my 7 years, but instead he chose to stay back and do another 7 years. Therefore he worked 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
He worked 14 years to get what he wanted. And
mm-hmm.
and of course that's also like a lesson. Well, it's sort of a lesson we can learn too. I mean, like sometimes if you want to get the right result, you know, it will take a little bit longer to achieve that. You know, but as we were saying, like, you know, Jacob worked 14 years to get what he wanted. Now imagine that in today's times, you want something and you have to work and slave for a number of years before you can get it. You know, so. So, you know, Jacob, as far as I can see, Jacob had a lot. Even though he learned a lesson, and even though the tables were turned, I mean, you know, he had patience. I can see that, you know, Jacob had, like, patience. You know, he had patience, because, as I said, you know, he could have like said, okay, I finished my 7 years, like I'm not gonna stay back, you know, I'll just go. But no, he just chose to say, okay, you know, I did not get my right wife. I'll just stay back and work another 7 years. And the funny thing is, like, he instead of walking away with one wife, he ended up walking away with two wives. And now I'm not sure if Felix wants to say anything on this as well. But I mean, like, in today's times, if you have more than one wife, then at the same time, and none of them are dead, well, I think that would be considered somewhat immoral. If you want to correct me on that, but you know, that's just like my observation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, basically, back then, polygamy was accepted in the Middle East. You know, basically, and not only in the Middle East, but in the world back then, men were allowed to have more than one wife for several reasons. Well, actually, for one reason in general, and that was to, you know, increase in number and to fill the whole earth. And, you know, God wanted the earth to be populated with people. So back then, even though people were already populating the earth and multiplying, back then the human population on earth was very low. There weren't as many people on earth back then as there are today. Today we have approximately 7 billion people. Over 7 billion people today in the globe.
Wow.
And so eventually, yes, there was a reason why God had allowed man to have more than one wife, and it was mostly for that reason, so that they can have many children and also multiply and fill the earth. And, you know, back then, having a lot of children was a great blessing from God as well. So, but also it was God's will that the earth would be populated. And, you know, Isaiah 45 says that God did not create the earth to be empty, but he formed it to be inhabited. You know, so back then, you know, there was a reason why God had allowed this to a certain extent, to a certain time. Eventually, yes, you know, it was no longer allowed. It was outlawed, you know. Once the earth was filled with more than enough people, you know, and God saw fit to no longer allow polygamy to continue taking its course, or, you know, no longer wanted man to have more than one wife, you know, because, again, as I mentioned before, having more than one wife was also pretty risky. It was also... it can lead to dissensions, to quarrels, to hatred, to jealousy, even among wives as well. And, you know, sometimes it wasn't always a good thing, but, you know, men who were willing to have more than one wife, you know, chose to have more than one wife back then, if they can handle it, for as long as they live, for as long as they can have children, which was okay back then. But eventually, yes, you know, it wasn't something perpetual. You know, God had allowed it only for a certain point in time. And also the Mosaic Law had not been passed along yet, you know, which eventually later on would, you know, later on do away with all this. But if you had a wife or two or so, they were your wives. You know, it wasn't adulterous, really, because they were your wives. But now, today, you know, being that we have over 7 billion people on earth, and, you know, really, in the New Testament, we are instructed, you know, and, you know, by God through Christ and by the early church that, you know, we should only marry one woman, as it was originally meant to be. You know, when God created Adam, he only made one wife for Adam, and, you know, it was just one man, one woman. So basically, that's how God wanted it to be, you know. So, and, you know, even though it turned out to be, you know, polygamous later on, but it was a temporary thing, And of course, later on, you know, it was discontinued, you know. So today, of course, we no longer do that. Although there are some people who still do it. There are some cultures,
sure,
even today in the Middle East, that still practice polygamy, that still, you know, marry more than one woman. You know, among Muslim countries, there are many Muslim countries in Africa and in the Middle East that still practice polygamy, including Arabia, or Saudi Arabia, if you will. You know, Saudi Arabia is a kingdom. So, I mean, the king there and the royal family there, they still practice polygamy. They have plenty of women. And, yes, concubines are also women that were married to men, but their only task was to please them sexually and even give them children at times also. So they were extra wives, basically. And, well, mm-hmm, you know, you'd be surprised that even in today's world, you still see such things in Asia. And even in certain places like Japan and some places, you know, there are people that still marry more than one woman. Even in the Mormon church, it once was done in the Mormon church originally, in the early Mormon church when it began in the 1800s, it was done. But later on, it was discontinued. Although there is a division among the Mormons, and I think there are some Mormons that still do it in the Midwest, but for the most part, mainstream Mormonism or the rest of the Mormon world in the country no longer do that. But, yeah, originally, even among them, it was done. And among many leaders, there was Warren Jeffries. There was Joseph Smith, the actual founder of the church, who practiced it and did it himself. And, yeah, there were still people doing it back then. And even today, it's something that people still do. But, of course, today, in today's world, it's not acceptable. You know, it's a different, you know, time, and it's also a different, you know, way of how we need to live for God and as Christians and observers and, you know, people who follow Jesus. You know, we must only be married to one woman because that is how our Lord instructed us to be. You know, and that is how we are to be as a church. You know, we are to live according to the ways of the Lord, you know, so we can mm-hmm. no longer do that, you know. So, and yes, in today's world, it would not be considered a good thing. It would be adulterous. It would be, you know, as my brother Carl said, you know, it would definitely be immoral, you know. So definitely it's something that, you know, shouldn't be done today. But yet, even today's world, there are some people that still do it, amazingly. So, but anyway, moving further on with our story, you know, Jacob eventually also had an incredible dream. And we see here that he had a dream, you know, after Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and when he realized his younger brother had tricked him out of the wealth and power that should have been his, Jacob ran for his life. Alone out in the wilderness, Jacob had plenty of time to think about the way he had mistreated Esau. All right, the young man fell asleep and dreamed of a ladder, okay, that reached to heaven, with angels coming and going, okay? In his dream, Jacob heard a voice, and it said to him, "I am the Lord your God, and I will give you this land and many children. Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Okay, now the same blessing that God had given to Abraham, his grandfather, and the very same thing that God also said to his father Isaac, God was now saying it to him, okay, to Jacob. Okay, in the dream, okay, and he saw a ladder, okay, this is where we get the famous name, Jacob's Ladder, okay, and actually a Jacob's Ladder is a rope, okay, it's actually a ladder, but it's made of a rope, and it, you can just flung it down from a helicopter, and so a person who is in the water or in a storm or caught in a storm in the sea is actually hauled up on it to be rescued out of the water. And so he would have to climb this rope, which is actually a ladder, but it's a rope, a ladder rope, okay? He would climb it all the way up to the chopper and then pulled into the chopper and rescued and hauled up out of there. So basically, that's a Jacob's ladder in our world today. It's a rope, which actually is made in the form of a ladder, all right? It's made of rope, and it's used to rescue people. So pretty much. So it's interesting to know what that is. But now, you know, this is where we get the term Jacob's ladder, okay, from this famous dream, okay, that Jacob had, all right? And it's very, very interesting because, you know, he sees angels ascending and descending. In other words, coming up the ladder and also going down the ladder, all right? And it's amazing because, you know, Jacob's vision of the ladder that reached into heaven, as Genesis 28, 10 to 22 specifies, is a popular motif in the Near East. The idea of a celestial stairway inspired by the people of Babel, okay, to build their gigantic tower. The motif also appears in Sumerian mythology. It may, in fact, be the driving force behind the multi-platform pyramids or ziggurats built by both the Sumerians and Babylonians. All right, the idea endured into Assyrian times. In the tale of Nergal and Ashur-Kigal, queen of the underworld, the queen's vizier is invited to ascend the long staircase of the heavens in order to bring his queen a dish from a banquet of the gods. Okay, this is what other cultures believe. All right, Jacob sees angels traveling up and down the ladder in order to convey messages between mankind and God. The Hebrew word for angel, malak, literally means messenger. Okay, similar ideas also appear in Akkadian and Egyptian writings of the period. Now, let the ladder of the god be given to me, intones one of the pyramid texts from the Old Kingdom. Let the ladder of Seth be given to me, so that I may ascend on it to the sky. So it pretty much, as we can see, there are other cultures that actually also grasped this concept or had the same ideology, all right? Later, rabbinic scholars interpreted Jacob's ladder as the long and arduous journey of Israel before the coming of the Messiah. Okay, the Midrash, rabbinic commentaries on the Bible, okay, sees Jacob's ladder as the attribute of a man lifelong surrounded by angels, some ascending into heaven, others descending to accompany Jacob on his journeys. Other traditions place the location of the ladder, or Sulam, on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, the future location of the first temple, which will become the most sacred connection between earth and heaven. For these rabbinic sages, Jacob's ladder symbolized the cedar, Hashtal Shalut, meaning the ladder of the worlds, the link between our physical world and the ethereal sphere of God. So this is very interesting. You know, this is a very interesting concept of the dream, famously known as Jacob's ladder. But also, I'd like to mind you the reality of Jacob's ladder, and that Jacob's ladder actually really did represent none other than the Messiah himself. Okay, and basically it's funny that even here it's mentioned in the Midrash, in the rabbinic commentaries, that it says that the journey of Israel before the coming of the Messiah. And basically, you know, rabbinic sources indicate this. Well, it's really funny that they say this, because if you turn over with me real quick, okay, let me leave you focusing on the ladder that Jacob dreamt about, with angels ascending and descending on it, okay? Angels coming up and coming down on it. Let me leave you focusing on that, all right? And let's turn over to John. John, real quick, all right? And basically here, we see more or less in John, I'll tell you what chapter in a minute. Bear with me, if you will, please. We're going to tell you who the ladder Jacob saw really was. John chapter 1, verse 50 to 51. Okay? It says here, Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." Okay? Basically here, Jesus was talking to one of the disciples. Okay, and he was talking to Nathaniel. And so, you know, basically the story goes on that Jesus had chosen him and Philip. All right? And so to be one of his followers, his early followers. And so Jesus told him, you know, he knew about Nathanael, and, you know, it was amazing how Nathanael was amazed that Jesus even knew about him or was struck about him. But you know what? Let's read the whole story real quick, and then we're going to read verse 50 real quick to 51, all right? And the story goes, okay, in John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and in the prophets," okay, "about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, whom here is nothing false." Okay? "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said here on verse 50, bear with me, verse 50, okay? We read about Jacob's ladder with angels descending and ascending on it, going up and down on it. Now look what Jesus says. Jesus says in verse 50, "You believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So I don't know about you, but that really blows me away, because Jesus himself considered himself to be the ladder on which angels ascended on him, you know, went up and down on him. So mind you, we read in Genesis 28, and we ask ourselves, and maybe I should ask you, could this be the same ladder Jacob saw in his dream? I think so, okay? The ladder symbolized Christ himself, okay? And this was the ladder that Jacob saw in his dream. And I don't know about you, but this is mind-blowing, all right? And, you know, earth-shattering in a good way, you know? But it's really amazing, because here we see Jesus calling himself the ladder on which angels ascend and descend on him. And mind you, this was the same ladder Jacob saw in his dream, okay, centuries before, all right? So this was actually a symbol of things to come. This dream was symbolic of things to come. It was actually a symbol of the coming Messiah, okay? It pointed to the coming of the Messiah, all right? And that was Christ Jesus himself, and who would actually come from Jacob as well. He would be his descendant as well, and Isaac and Abraham, okay? Just as God had promised him, okay? "All nations will be blessed through you and your seed." Okay, so mind you, Jacob is also now the partaker, and he shares in the same promise and blessing as well. So this is pretty amazing, and you know. But before we wrap it up, basically here we see a couple of things that had happened, and it's pretty amazing the encounter that Jacob had with God. You know, also that he even named the place where he had this encounter Bethel. Bethel, which meant in Hebrew, it means the house of God, okay? And Beth means house, okay? And El, short for Elohim, is God, okay? So you put these two words together, Beth El, and you have the house of God, okay? So he named this place where he had this phenomenal dream, the house of God, okay? After God had promised to make him a great nation and give him many descendants, and make him a community of nations, okay? Just as he promised his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. So God also reiterated the same blessing to him now, you know? So, but this is a very remarkable story as well. And Jacob also swore that he would pledge himself to the Lord for the rest of his life if God would grant him safe travels in his journey, give him food to eat, give him clothes to wear, that he would even, he set up a pillar, okay, and basically a pillar that will be God's house, okay, and he anointed it with oil, and he named it Bethel, okay, which formerly was called Luz, okay, but he also said that out of everything God gives me, I'm going to give back to him a tenth, you know, And this is where we get the notion of tenths. You know, this is where we get the saying a portion. We give a tenth to God, you know, because this was something practiced back then in the Old Testament. This started back in the Old Testament, way before it started, way before it was practiced in the church, okay, and or tithing, if you want to call it, whatever. This actually started way back then in the Old Testament. So, but anyway, with that being said, I hope you all enjoyed tonight's lesson. And thank you so much for listening to tonight's session of Genesis 27 and 28. And I want to thank my dear brother Carl also as well. Thank you all for listening and for tuning in. And hopefully we'll see you, we'll hear from you again. And you stay tuned next week. And basically next week we'll go over Genesis 29 and 30. So stay tuned for next week, next Monday, on Monday night's Bible study, Lord willing. And we'll continue the book of Genesis, you know, and finish it off, all right, ultimately. So with that being said, thank you all so much. And Brother Carl, you want to add anything? And take it away.
Yeah, man, truly, today was totally awesome, man. I always it's very rare that I get a chance to host a Bible study because you know, as I say, normally it's Felix and Bella usually bring the Bible studies, and I just listen in and take it in. But you know, as I said at the top of the broadcast, Bella wasn't really feeling well tonight.
Yeah.
So I had to cover for her, but you know, I send a speedy recovery to her as
yeah.
well. But as you said, like is totally awesome. Just a story of Jacob, really. Jacob, as we read in the first chapters, you know, Jacob was conning people, you know, conned his brother not once but twice, and then in 28 we see that the tables were turned on him. So basically, what goes around comes around, and you know, it's the same thing that we have to be mindful of as well today. You know, if we do something to one person, then you can expect that if that person is vengeful, then you can expect that something will come back to us. You know, maybe not right away, but soon enough, depending on if the person is a vengeful person or not. But then again, you know, God always has mercy and shows mercies to us as well. So, you know, that's just my thought for the evening. So, yeah. You know, thank you for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure, Brother Felix, just to host with you tonight.
Thank you so
and,
much.
And you know, yeah, just come. We should have a show on Wednesday, so just keep your eyes open for that. And in the Waywalkers group. That's where we normally post our shows and events. So just as I said, just keep your eyes open for that. And hopefully Wednesday we will be ready to go with another brand new topic and another brand new show for your listening. So God bless you all, and we'll see you on Wednesday. And before we go. With the short amount of time we have, I'm just going to pray us out. So, Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this Bible study, this awesome Bible study. We thank you, God Jesus, for the words that were taught and brought forth by myself and Brother Felix. Oh, Lord God Jesus, I pray that you'll just continue to bless us, continue to bless this ministry, oh Lord. Remember those that, as I said before, those that have listened to us tonight and those that will be listening to us in the future, oh Lord God, I pray that, you know, someone's heart will be blessed by what we had to say and what we had to say. We just want to say thank you once again, and we praise you, and we just lift you up. In your name, Father, we say these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, y'all. That's all for tonight. Have a good night.
Have a good night, man. God bless.
God bless.